Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Well, hello, groomers! Hi, Susie, what's up? Greetings, groomers, and Barbara, welcome to episode 212 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 16th, 2019, in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon, and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Stazco, Show Season, and Evolution Shears. This week, we're going to discuss anger management, ferric ferrocyanide, and a bunch of product reviews. So, Barbara, how are you?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. I'm a survivor, girl. I am surviving Tucson. It was 107 here on Wednesday.
Oh my
and,
God!
And that means it was like 105 in my shop. No, it wasn't that bad, but it's been a hot week. And you know, I've got three swamp coolers going inside my shop, and now it's creating a humidity problem.
Oh, that makes sense, because there's water involved.
Not only are we bathing and drying dogs, but we're and there, one of them was just like spitting water out. And fortunately, I teamed up with my new handyman, Raphael, and we fixed it. But hey, an interesting thing happened to me in my workplace.
Yes.
So if you will kind of picture my table, it's in the front room, not in the bathing room. It's up against the wall and it goes up and down. And then I've been having to switch dogs around to do them. And I've had it there against the wall, horizontal to the wall, for at least 2 years, maybe three or four.
So what you're saying is the lengthwise back of the table is against the wall.
Right. So it occurred to me, I get one of the really peevy, pissy things that happens is that dogs are real good when they're standing with their head out towards the door. But when I have to turn them around and they have to look back into the bathing room and they can't see if daddy's coming, they are unhappy. And that is the only position where I can put my groomer's helper, was with the groomer, the dog's head facing away from the door. So it just seemed to me that maybe I could reduce some of the struggle by changing the position of my table.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
5 years later, she says, you know. That's me. I so accommodate to whatever, you know. It's like I went without a water heater for 11 months until the winter really came. I went without it. I mean, I just got in my survival camping mode. And, you know, and so that's what I do. So I have just accommodated because this is where I wanted my table. But it occurred to me, why don't you put it perpendicular to the wall? And then they can have a view out of the towards the door, whichever side you're working on. And you can walk around the table and do it from the other side if you want to. Going to give you more options, Barbara. So I had my new handyman, Raphael, was in the shop doing some other things. And I had him move my big electric table. And we put it perpendicular to the wall. Well, guess what? Solution. Yeah, the dogs are so much happier. And, you know, now when I want to do their rear end, rear view, back door, and what does it look like? You know, that's such an important view, that view of the dog asshole towards you. Because when people are walking their dog, do you think their dog is heeling politely next to them? No, they're on a goddamn flexi-lead. They're 10 feet out and you're seeing their rear end view. So that view is important. But in my older, former position of the table, the dogs were then facing the wall and they hated it. So I got a lot of struggle doing dog butts while I was in that. I move the table position. They're looking out the door for Dad, and I'm at their ass just trimming in between those back legs and making that look all fine and perfectly beveling their little ankles. And they're just like, oh, is Daddy coming yet? Love it. And then there's more.
Oh, cool.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So what I lost by moving away from the wall was that my backdrop, my photo backdrop. You know, and I have to reorganize a little bit, but I'm going to have shelf space right at my elbow, which is going to be good. And I thought, well, let me just move this backdrop and see what's behind it anyway. And it's pegboard. And I remember, do you know what, Susie? In 1977, when I opened this shop,
yes,
the way I had my table was perpendicular to the wall, and I had pegboard there, and I had tools in the pegboard because I had just come from a mobile grooming experience, and I appreciated the value of just being able to reach for a tool. And so as soon as I saw that pegboard, my mind went, did you hear that?
Not only did I hear it, I get to see it.
It was amazing. And for like $17, I ordered a shitload of like 70 pieces of pegboard tool holders.
That's so cool. I can't wait to see what you do with that, how you organize everything.
I mean, I can't believe that. What a process. It is so amazing. I have gone through such a process with my table and my stations and where I put things. And I remember one time I wanted to be able to walk around my table in the back room, and I had it right in the center and nothing was within arm's reach.
Right.
I had to walk to one side of the room or another to get anything, any kind of a tool. I'm so excited. I'm so amped. And it's such a 360. To come back to perpendicular to the wall with a pegboard tool organizer.
That's really going to make a difference.
Yeah. And now they have much better accessories.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see where this goes. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to go in on a day off, actually, and fool around with it. That's how motivated I am.
This brings up an interesting topic, and that is the orientation of your table and how it affects your overall grooming. And since I didn't have anything exciting go on this week, we might as well discuss my orientation.
So my
table's against the wall lengthwise, but I can't walk around either end of it. So I actually don't have access to either end or the opposite end.
Yeah, well, that's the way I was. I had the one open side, long side. That was it.
My door, which for 7 months out of the year is wide open, is at my back. So the dogs are constantly looking past me over my shoulder, rocking back and forth, trying to get a view, unless I've got the door closed. But I tell you, if I'm working on something, they turn their attention to me. But if somebody walks past and looks in, I can always tell because the dog's attention goes, what's going on? Oh, what's over there? But it's difficult having the dog look over your shoulder because they're always turned. Their head is always turned. But luckily I can move my groomer's helper to either end, which I do, and I can hold the dog's head more centered that way and get their attention. Plus, if they get really annoying, I just close my door, and then they can't look out, and then it's back to we can't look out anymore. But I also have a window behind my table that if you're a tall enough dog, you can see a little bit out that window, which is a good distraction sometimes because they're looking out the window, just like you were saying, and I can work on parts of their body while they're holding still and sniffing the window, you know, the air coming in or something like that. That's handy. I also have one on the other side. Basically, they can't really see out that one unless they're in the bathtub. But if they're in the bathtub, they can look out that window, which works spectacularly for every dog except the Leonberger, who I have a difficult time turning away from the door side. He's fixated on the door side of that tub.
That's a big dog for that trailer.
Yeah, it's too big a dog, but it's my Avian vet, you know, and I don't want, you know, she's going to come here to my house to do her, to take care of my animals. I'm certainly not going to refuse to do her gigantic 130-pound Leonberger. He's a nice dog. He really is. He's getting better. He doesn't want to go up the ramp, though. It's, you know, it's not easy to convince a 130-pound dog to go up a ramp. Yeah, especially since it's really not supposed to hold a 130-pound dog, I don't think. Yeah, I think it tops out about at 100 pounds, but I don't know. It bows a little bit when he's going up, but he doesn't stay on there very long. He kind of bounds past it and throws himself into the tub. But
you know, I had a newfie once named Twerp.
Well, I remember Twerp.
Twerp, black and white newfie, and we loved him, and he was so good at. But at the end, he couldn't get into the tub, and he couldn't get in and out of the tub, and so we ended up doing him outdoors for about a year. Yeah, he was a monthly dog, and we used to do him outdoors with a garden sprayer. But
I used to do a monthly Malamute that was well over 100 pounds, and I would do her in the dog run with a gigantic horse water bucket and my bathing beauty submerged in the water bucket. And I would put on my full rain gear and my rain boots, and I would stand back there and wash that dog. It was quite the chore.
I had a Malamute that I would go to the home, cross tie on the back porch between the two poles, and bathe and dry with a high velocity dryer. And the guy told me that within a week, all the hair in the yard would be gone because the birds got it.
Totally. I don't know. We must have a lot of hair available for our birds or natural material, because when I de-shed my horse, it just lays there in a huge pile.
Forever. And doesn't biodegrade.
No, it just seems to stay there.
I know, no, but it makes good mulch.
Well, that's true. That's true. Okay, hey, we've got a new Patreon.
Good. And that would be?
That would be Ashley Abernathy.
A-A-R-B-B.
Alliterations. NSS? Yeah.
There we are.
We also got a donation from Kelly Brown.
Well, thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, nice donation. $100 donation from Kelly Brown. Yeah. So there you go. That's a day of handyman for you, Barbara.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I'll send that along your way. And nothing much happened this week, but I'm still working on my scissoring. And it's funny because when I'm clippering, time passes very quickly. It's, you know, like driving a pathway that you've driven all the time, and you can see the curve and you know the curve is coming, and then you know the next curve and you know the next curve. So as I'm finishing my regular pattern of being able to clipper and finish and then just tidy up everything with my scissors before I'm finished, that's like the road I've driven on 1,000 times. When I'm doing a scissored leg, which I'm having to do, I have to do on some of these dogs, it is like time stands still. And I'll be working on that leg and working on that leg, and I'll think 20 minutes have gone by and it's been like 5 minutes. And it's just bizarre.
It works the other way for me when I'm scissoring.
Really?
I'll be scissoring around, and I'll think that, you know, like, oh, I did this head in 15 minutes. No, not exactly. 25, you know, like, oh my God, it's time. They're going to go home. What? Quick.
It's definitely working the other way with me, because I think it's taking me forever.
That's good news.
Yeah, it is good news.
It just shows that you're stressing a little bit, you know?
Definitely. Still not quite comfortable. I'm getting better. The two legs are looking more alike, which is the goal.
That's a good thing. Yeah. it's always good when legs match.
Yeah. And that is always the problem. I'm still trying to figure out if I have a fair amount of dogs whose front right foot turns out, or if it's something that I'm doing that makes it appear like the dog's foot has turned out.
Boy, I think a lot of them do turn out.
I think it might be that.
I think it's a common front fault. Really common front fault, and it's been passed on through the years.
Yeah, it's like one foot is fine and the other foot is just slightly out of alignment. And
yeah, you know, you know what the Glen of Imal people call that?
What?
The Irish foot.
Oh, really?
He's got the Irish foot. Well, yeah, that doesn't make it structurally sound. Now, you know?
And the one that bugs me the most is the little dog that stays with me, because like the left foot is looking just spectacular, even better now that I've gotten it more even on the outside and inside to the other leg. But then I've still got the right foot turning out to the right and I can't figure out why. And I actually think her foot has turned out. I don't think it's me, but the other foot isn't turned out. You know, that torques me more than anything you can possibly imagine, because I need to be so linear and I have to have things on the right side match things on the left side. So the fact that her foot turns out is driving me crazy. It's the little things that bug me. It's like, well, my OCD kicks in.
Just correct it. You know how to correct that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I can correct it, but I didn't think it was wrong. I thought it was because I thought it was me. I didn't think it was her foot. Now I'm going to look, and now I'll look at it as if it's her foot this next time I do her and see if that doesn't change things. The other thing I seem to have gotten a little helping hand with somewhere along the line is my ear issues. We all know, if you've been listening for any length of time, I've been getting a helping hand with my ears a little bit through a tip that somebody gave me and just didn't apply, because normally the ears, I think, are too short for it. But I've been taking both ears up over the head together and then cutting them off evenly, kind of either forward or backward, not sideways, because then I end up with one with different shapes on either side. But if I cut from the back forward and I line the ears up, I'm way closer to getting them even than when I start hacking away at one side, then the other, then the other, then the other, and I end up, you know, but it doesn't work quite as well with really short ears. But what I've been doing with really short ears is skimming off with my yellow comb or the green comb at the end of the ear, but not going all the way down the ear, and seeing, because that kind of gives a different look at the bottom of the ear. And then I can take it up and follow the leather a little bit better. That has backfired.
You could even come in closer than the yellow comb. You can even do the blue comb and just really kind of bevel that bottom edge of the ear, that, and just have that be your bottom visual line. Your bottom line. Yeah. It looks really cute.
Okay.
Because you know, it automatically shapes the ear. And I encourage you to experiment with that. You're on the path. Play with that a little bit and try, if you even use a shorter comb, what happens?
Okay. The only time I found it to backfire, and it does occasionally, is when one of the ears is twisted. You know, you've got an ear that's shaped a little bit. This one's beautiful and this one's weird. And then you take it off and you're like, oh, wow, now that ear really sticks out. And then it takes, you know, a
I know,
to
there's
grow
these
back.
Dogs that fold one ear in behind the leather or something, you know, it always messes, and it makes it longer behind the ear there. You know, you think you've trimmed it just all perfectly. You hold the ear out, you trim around the edge just all perfectly, and then they do this wonky thing with it, and there's hair hanging down a half an inch longer than the rest of the edge. What the hell is that? So it's either good for one expression that they use but not the other. So you have to say, well, which way are you is more natural for you? Well, I like to do this, and then again, I like to do that too. Silly dogs.
Just the little fine tuning that we do for each individual dog. It's fascinating. I don't excel at that. But yeah, I think I will try that with the skimming off, even with a shorter blade. Okay, well, let's take a quick break, and then let's come back and talk a little anger management.
Arr there.
We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15 to 1 for deep cleaning, 50-1 for light cleaning or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot Special Coat Releasing Technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Miss Barbara Bird, what brings up this topic for you? Anything particular?
Well, you know, I will confess that I've been having a little, I had a rough week with anger, and it was partly due to the fact that my work environment is uncomfortable. It also has to do with the fact that I was having a lot of bone-on-bone arthritis pain in my right knee. I mean, hardly able to walk. And chronic pain can make you really grumpy.
I bet.
Really grumpy and kind of testy, and then the extra hot kind of conditions and the stress of trying to get dogs out before you die. That's when Yvonne and I turned to each other on Wednesday and we said, we're gonna die.
And then you've got a whole nother thing because you've got a person in there with you.
Right, I'm responsible for. What happens if one of us has to call a 911? I'm fucked. You know, I'm stacking the refrigerator with beverages and electrolyte water. And I discovered this Propel electrolyte water, which is like lightly fruity or something. And it's really okay. But I also realized that I have to drink to really stay hydrated when I'm perspiring heavily. I have to drink a bottle of water per dog. And you know what? That's about right. You know, that's probably about darn right. So what is working is that we're getting started earlier, and I'm trying to get us out of there by 2 or 2:30 before the afternoon heat really amps up and the whole uninsulated concrete block building.
When I was little, I had a game that I cannot remember for the life of me the name of, but it was a camel, and it had two bags on his back, like saddlebags, and you put things in it, and eventually you would get that last straw on the camel's back, and the camel would just explode, and everything that was in his little backpack would fly everywhere, and that person would lose the game. If you get so many things loaded into your camel's backpack, you're going to explode, and it doesn't matter what's going on. Boy, I can't imagine how you deal with this heat and having a human in there with you that you're responsible for, and then all of those pets as well. That's going to make you cranky, Barbara. You're going to get cranky.
Yeah, and I have techniques to manage that, especially try to not just become totally consumed by the moment of irritation and anger.
Oh, perfect place to start, you know, like, here. That's a perfect place to start.
I just have to acknowledge it.
Take a moment to collect yourself. When you're at the moment of exploding, when that last straw landed in the backpack and you're about to kick out, just take a moment. Even all the experts say this. Take a moment to collect yourself and look at what's behind your anger. Are you cranky because you're hungry? Are you cranky because somebody is annoying to you or doing the same thing over and over again? Are you cranky because you're in a difficult... Okay, Miss Fidgety Gibbets.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you cranky because of your situation, your environment? There's like three areas.
I'm cranky because of something that the employee did that made it harder on us.
Yeah, that makes it really important to take a look at what's behind it. What's behind your anger? What is the actual problem? In this case, you know, it's what your employee did. So at that moment, you take a step back. I always have a place in my mind, because there isn't a place in my trailer, a place in my mind that I can go to take a minute. Now, we can get mad at the pets. We can get mad at our coworkers, and we can get mad at our situation. I can't escape much of that in my grooming trailer, but I can go into my happy place in my mind and take a few yoga breaths and reassess and try to
fuck that.
Oh, I do yoga breaths big time. I just take a few moments to center myself and go to my happy place and just collect, so I don't blow off just off the handle, because I don't think blowing off the handle is productive. And if I can stop it, I will stop it.
It's not productive. And I rarely blow off, but sometimes even if I say anything, I get a super defensive prickly response back. So, you know, like what I do in that moment of collecting myself, I set a value on the issue. Is this worth a divorce? Is it worth a argument?
So I've got these points here. How important is it? Is it worth getting angry about? Can anything really be done to fix the problem? And is it worth my time to do so? Those kind of things. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think I'm a court. You know, and then the other thing that I do is that I assess the positive value. I remind myself how important the relationship is. I remind myself of how devoted she is. I remind myself of the good things, the positive side of things. And that helps me some.
Yeah. Okay. So then you've got to confront the situation in some way often. I mean, sometimes there's just no way to avoid discussing the situation.
Well, it's not good to stockpile. It's not good to stockpile grievances, because that's when blow-ups and divorce happen.
Right.
If you just stuff it all the time, you know, but you have to kind of get away from it and figure out what is discussable.
Exactly.
Whatever this grievance that you're holding, can you have an intelligent conversation about with the other person without hurting their feelings?
And don't try to assume you know what the other person's response is going to be. You're not a mind reader. As good as you think you may be at interpreting other people's intentions and motivations, you need to let them respond to your, whatever it is, your discussion. You need to be open to what they say and not attack. You know, do the fair fight rules. Don't attack personally. Keep on the subject. Try not to get emotional. All of those things that are just kind of fair fight kind of things. Don't.
And actually, Susie, I actually do practice yoga breaths.
I know you do, because you told me to do it. Trust me, everything you've said is firmly implanted into my head. And I know where the go in the bathroom and take a moment came from. And it was you. I know it's hard at the moment. Yeah, it is hard at the moment. So when you start the discussion part of the conversation, let's say, try to avoid using the words always and never. You never clean up. You always do this. Throw those words out, because they do nothing but make people defend.
No, you have to be specific. Talk about a specific action, event, sequence, whatever. You know, like when you did this, da-da-da-da-da.
Yes, and I interpret that as, or I'm seeing you. Make sure you include yourself in the statement. You're not accusing someone.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that.
No, because you don't want to close down the lines of communication before you've even opened them. That's an important part of this. So let's get down to the part of the conversation where you're actually going to offer a solution to the problem. Because you can't just go in there and complain about this and this without actually having worked out a way that it can be solved before you go into the confrontation. So don't just go in and complain and accuse. Actually come up with a way that you think that the situation can be resolved, but be open to the other person's input on that solution.
Well, yeah, you can ask for the other person's, what can I do to make this work?
It doesn't hurt. And I'm a big one for this because of my background, to rehearse your response, whether it be in your head, whether you write it down and read it a few times. You know, it's important to have the words come out in a not in a nonsensical manner. Make sense when you put your stuff out there, like I often don't. make sense in your statements, you know, yeah. Rehearse it in your mind, write it down, make a plan. How do you prevent the blow up before it happens? What can we do like before when you know the tension is starting? I know, Barbara, we talk in the background occasionally. Sometimes that helps reduce the tension of your situation. It's not stuff you want to share publicly, but if you have a friend that you can talk to about the things that are causing the stress in your work situation or wherever it may be, sometimes that helps to alleviate it, but they have to be somebody you can really trust.
Yeah, and you have to be willing to listen to yourself talking. You
yeah, know? Like, yes, good point.
You know, if you're going to like dump it, listen to yourself. See, what are you saying?
Isn't yeah. that the whole point of therapy, really, is to hear the word coming out of your mouth and then have somebody reflect back what they heard to you in case it comes off a little different? That's therapy. That's good stuff for every part of your life, I think.
And there is an extent to which, if you are willing, you can be your own therapist.
I talk to myself all the time. It works great.
Yeah, and there is a kind of a last ditch kind of a thing. If something is like not solvable or not, you can't approach it today. Sometimes if you can shift the focus of whatever the focus is onto something good, like a dog's funny behavior that you can both enjoy. Oh, look at him, you know.
Shiny you know, like, object over here. I'm
shiny object, shiny object over here. And you know, usually among two dog behavior lovers, it could be humorous behavior that some dog is exhibiting at this time. You know, like check this out or look at her.
Humor shortened in this whole process.
I'm telling you, humor is life's best tool for making it through. You know, like not that you want to be laughing all the time. That's when humor becomes an escape mechanism. But yeah. Humor as a tool to reduce stress is it's a good thing.
It's like a pressure valve on your pressure cooker. It just yeah. let a little of that steam out.
Yeah, take a little of the pressure off, and then it just doesn't seem so dire.
Personally, I don't have a huge problem with this, but mental bubblegum affects a lot of us. And when you're dealing with a stressful situation at work, you're constantly chewing on it in your mind and imagining scenarios and focusing in on the negative situation, and that is really unhealthy. Try to focus in on the solution rather than focusing on the irritation and the negative part of it. Focus in on ways you can make the situation work better for all parties involved.
You know, my recommendation is put that chewing gum under your table.
Very good. I love that term that you gave us so many years ago, the mental chewing gum. That is just such a great example of what goes on.
Some people use that more than others. I mean, some people chew on things more than others. You can always pick them out, you know, and there are people that have a hard time with forgiveness.
If you can be a forgiving person, it helps make your life a lot simpler. It doesn't fix the problem, but boy, I live my life forgiving everybody for whatever they do, that whether they intend it or not. I just find that holding a grudge is so ineffective for me.
It's such a waste of energy.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go. I think that covers Andrew.
Did
you want to add anything?
I think we'd beat that horse to death.
Okay. All right.
Moving right along.
Okay. Well, I've got a really nice new Evolution Shears ad that I'm going to play. I realize I didn't announce it as an Evolution Shears in the beginning, so you may wonder who's talking and what's going on. But new Evolution Shears ad coming up, and then it's time to go back to school.
You know, I've been grooming for over 15 years now, and the way they have developed this with it being able to custom fit your hand, I try to go pick up any other shear now and I say some bad words in my head because I don't want to stand on my head to scissor the inside of a leg anymore. Like, I can do everything with keeping my wrist straight, and it's made such a huge difference. Because I'm 44 now. I feel like I came into grooming late in life, and I want to be grooming as long as humanly possible because I love it. We don't realize how much bending our wrist and tweaking our bodies to get into strange positions doesn't just affect your wrist. It doesn't just affect potential carpal tunnel. It affects your shoulder and your neck and your back and your hip. And when you're having to hold yourself in a weird position to reach a place on a dog, it throws your whole body out of whack. That's why I love working with them, because I honestly love the product and I wouldn't want to groom without them. It is really, really nice in this day and age with, you know, so many huge corporations to have a mom and pop business, to have legitimately a family type business, because I feel like even though we're not blood related, I feel like I'm part of their family. And if you contact us on Facebook for a customer service issue, it's either myself or Abby. We are the customer service department. It's that kind of small business. And we really do try to keep everybody happy.
Give us all the information. Where can we find all things Evolution Shears?
All things, well, we have a Facebook page. We also have a website, evolutionshears.com. And because we love our GroomPod family, if you go on the website and put the coupon code GroomPod, you get $10 off each shear.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Back to school time, Barbara. Ferric ferrocyanide. Are we doing like the arsenic and old lace thing here? The cyanide?
I know. Cyanide makes that gets your attention, doesn't it?
Instantly.
Like, you know what that is?
I got no idea.
That's the active ingredient in Mrs. Stewart's laundry bluing.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, yeah. That's it. You know, like, well.
So is that different? That's different than the Genesimin.
It's not Jensen Blue.
Okay.
That's another big bummer. But no, this is a, it's also called Prussian Blue. That's its kind of trade name. But the chemical name of the key ingredient in Mrs.
Mrs. Stewart.
Ferric ferrocyanide. And water, and then they got a couple other things in there, but they never really disclose their ingredients. Damn you, Mrs. Stewart.
Damn you all to hell.
And the interesting thing about this ferrocyanide, Prussian blue, is that it doesn't actually dissolve in the water. It's a colloidal suspension where it remains suspended in the water. So it's very important that it always be stirred. So I just happened to see that they were talking about using this. Oh, wow, why don't we just use Mrs. Stewart's bluing for all our white dogs?
Is this the stuff they used to make little old ladies' hair blue?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And here's the problem. I'm going to tell you two problems. The problem is, one of it is the fact that it's a colloidal suspension. So if you don't have it like equally suspended in the fluid, you can have dye spots. Or if the hair is extremely porous, you can have blue hair.
I have pink hair because of that, because my hair is damaged.
Because your hair is damaged, and I could have told you so.
I'm okay with it now, except it doesn't go with this shirt, but that's a whole other issue.
Well, you just have to wear more purple shirts. In the early 1970s, when I first started grooming, we used this. We would use this at the kennel where I groomed. But as soon as we got a pet shampoo whitener, we stopped using this because it's unpredictable. I mean, most of the time it was fine. You just use a little bit and you mix it in a pitcher and you pour it on the dog. But every now and then you would be sorry you did it. That doesn't hardly happen. Although you can use Chris Christensen white on white. It's got powerful blue dye in there and you can overdo it with that stuff. If in the case of that, if you leave it on too long, it will absorb too much blue color. Here's a significant factoid, okay? I'm going to read you. Bluing liquid is slightly toxic.
Oh.
But it can become more toxic as Prussian blue can emit hydrogen cyanide when exposed to high temperatures, strong UV light, or acid.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, so maybe it's not the best thing.
Especially since we do have great alternatives.
That's right. If there were no alternatives, then the risk factor and the result factor might balance out. But since we do have good alternatives, why? You know, so nowadays, the essence of white is not so much getting blue light in there as it is getting more reflective light in there. And, you know, the whole optics of white has evolved significantly since the 70s, even though they're still marketing the shit out of Mrs. Stewart's bluing. And guess what? I am going to get some from my shop towels, which are looking extremely dingy.
Oh, you use it for your laundry? Is that what its initial purpose was? What was the initial purpose?
Laundry. It says laundry bluing. And they even say our main mission, our main use is laundry bluing, and anything else that you do is on you.
Oh, I bet they got lots of complaints about people getting dyed stuff like on their collars and all that from their blue hair. Isn't that interesting? We're so lucky that things develop the way they do.
Yeah, you know, the science is not static.
Yeah.
And the old is not always the best. Everybody wants to rediscover these old toxic options.
Yeah.
Let's just go there.
Yeah. Okay.
It's from the past. Let's use that. Let's just use soap nuts. Yeah. Come on.
Okay. Well, that's a great introduction to our next subject matter, which is our At the Table segment, all about some new products we've got coming along. But first, we're going to hear another new advertisement. I was busy this last week. Another new advertisement, this time for show season. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool, because They are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources. And yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Barbara Bird, it's almost as cool to be me as it is to be you.
Oh, it's starting to pay off. Miss Groom Pod is starting to get free shit, and yeah, she's loving it.
I was doing an unboxing video of the new comb I had. That was kind of fun. And I thought, wow, I kind of like these unboxing videos. Maybe we'll do some more product unboxing videos as things go along. Needless to say, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Well, it just aired last week, but we talked about it a few weeks ago. I got samples of the Indomira, which is a very clever name, a clever, badly spelled way to say in the mirror. So Indomira Pet Products, they have a line of shampoos that includes the Glacial Rain shampoo that Barbara has been talking about for months and months now. And man, I am on the bandwagon. The Glacial Rain shampoo is just one of three shampoos that they sent me in the mail. And I really dig that particular shampoo. It smells a little bit like a swimming pool from a distance. I know, I have some odd
I would never have said that. I would never have even thought that.
It might be the cleaner. The cleaner from the locker room. I don't know. It's something I associate with a swimming pool environment, a public swimming pool environment. But I love it. No, it's a good smell. It's good.
I love it. I think it is a superior general purpose all around. I think it's too much of a secret. I really liked it. It works well through the bathing beauty.
Yes.
It cleans real well. It doesn't seem to irritate. And it just works on all types of coat.
Oh, it's fabulous. The dogs, no matter what the coat type is, just feel really clean afterwards. The only complaint I have is an interesting one. It's that it's quite a bit foamy in our type of water chemistry. Our water chemistry makes it foam quite a bit, but it doesn't choke the bathing beauty. It is not a really viscous foam. And I was going to ask you, what makes the difference in it's very foamy, but it rinsed away really quickly and it didn't choke the bathing beauty?
I will talk about that, because there is foam and there is foam. Foam has its own characteristics, and the tightness of the foam and the firmness of the foam is different with different substances and in different mixtures. So foam or suds itself can be loose, or it can be, you know, they do things like they measure the height of foam. You know, if they shake it in a large test tube and they shake it and then they measure the height of foam, they measure how long it stays high. That makes a difference to the whether it breaks down quickly or not. When you're hand applying people shampoo, you want to have, you know, like rich suds, almost looks like whipped cream. That's what you want in your own shampoo, right? You don't want it to break down before you get it all worked through your tresses. So the same thing applies with dog products. And this particular product seems to have a good balance of, you know, workable foam, but it won't clog the bathing beauty because it's breaking down quickly.
When I put the hose on it, it broke down and disappeared down my drain faster than most of the other shampoos foam breaks down. I was surprised because I thought, oh, I love Lucy moment as there was foam around the dog's feet. I love it. It was fun. You know, I enjoyed the moment. But then I was thinking it's going to cost me a lot of water, which is valuable as a mobile groomer. Water is a commodity. So it's going to cost me a lot of water to wash it away. But it didn't. It just melted and washed away very easily.
So here's a point. I'm now looking at the Glacial Rain ingredients that they disclose on their website. Glacial Rain shampoo has no cocamidopropyl betaine.
That's a foam stabilizer, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, like one time I did an all-day seminar on shampoo, and in the morning I took a little bowl and I used a latte whip and I frothed up some some cocamidopropyl betaine, and it made this beautiful foam, and it stayed there all day long.
Like Mr. Bubble. Do you remember Mr. Bubble?
Like, and you know, where I read somewhere that when they do shaving foam commercials to pictures or videos, they use cocamidopropyl betaine.
Okay.
Foamed up because it photographs well. It's because it's stable. It stays stiff for while they're through the photo shirt. It doesn't just like melt off the dude's face. So, you know, it's known to be a foam stabilizer, and it retards foam breakdown. You know, and the other thing that's interesting about that is that sometimes, although it's rare, there are people who are sensitive and allergic to cocamidopropyl betaine. Now, it has been revealed that that's possibly due to impurities from the manufacturing process, not the stuff itself. But if you have a dog that seems to have reacted poorly to everything else, you might try this. Or if you think you're sensitive, or if you just want to get away from cocamidopropyl betaine for any reason, this is a choice. Now, what else did I see in their ingredients? They have, it's an ammonium, not sodium, ammonium laureth and lauryl sulfate and lauryl glucoside co-surfactants are their cleaning agents. So it's using some lauryl sulfate, but not as the predominant cleanser. It's a co-surfactant. And they're also mixing in a sugar surfactant, lauryl glucoside, which is going to further reduce the amount of laureth or lauryl sulfate that you need to make a workable shampoo, right?
It sure cleaned nicely. I love the way the dogs felt afterwards. And you're right, it worked good on every coat. But they have some more specific shampoos as well. They have one called Silky Way, which is their conditioning shampoo. Now, I liked it. I didn't like it quite as much as the Glacial Rain because I have other conditioning options that I like better, but it was a good solid choice if you wanted to stick with one line. So I couldn't tell though whether it had a silicone in it or not. Barbara, does it? What's in that Silky Way shampoo?
Okay, the conditioning function, the conditioning agents are modified silk and milk proteins, glycol stearate and stearamide monoethylamine. And so those are no silicones.
No silicones.
Silk protein, milk protein, and a synthetic, what you might call, maybe you could call it a silicone replacement or silicone substitute.
Okay.
It's not going to be as smooth as a silicone, but this is a pretty good, I felt that it was a good conditioning shampoo, and I didn't keep it because I have so many other options.
Right.
But I would recommend it. I would use it if it were there. The one of the three that I want to keep on using and pay my own money for is the sugar soap.
Ah, the sugar soap. Yes, I haven't used it as much, but I did use it yesterday. So, my impression of it was that it cleaned pretty doggone well, but it kind of left a funny feeling on the coat, kind of like a soap, even though I'm pretty sure it's probably not a soap, right? It's probably not a soap at all.
Let me read you the ingredients. Water, cocoa glucoside, that's a sugar surfactant. There is no soap here.
Okay.
Cocoa glucoside, cocamine propyl betaine, because you got to have some foaming. Sodium laureth sulfate, third ingredient. Sugar.
Yeah. Actual sugar?
Actual sugar.
Oh.
You know what? Sugar is a good thing. Do you remember Pam? Pam.
Spray?
No, Pam. Pam,
Pam, a human.
Pam Mobile Groomer in Washington.
Pam Julian.
Pam Julian.
Hi, Pam. She listens.
Hi, Pam. Pam used to add sugar to her shampoo at the tub.
Huh.
Because she swore that it was good for the skin. And it does have healing benefits for skin. It is a kind of a natural skin conditioner. Sugar. Huh. You know, like honey. Honey?
Yeah.
So, although this is not a sulfate-free alternative, it is almost sulfate-free. It has some sodium lauryl sulfate as a third co-surfactant, but and that's what helps it clean really good, even though it's not a primary sulfate shampoo. Am I making any sense? Or I'm equivocating a little bit because it's a combination.
Right.
It's a combination product of a lot of kind of new glucoside and old sodium lauryl sulfate. So it's the new and the old together with sugar, which is kind of innovative.
And it really doesn't have a smell.
It doesn't have a smell. I feel that it's an excellent hypoallergenic that has great cleaning ability.
I could see that.
So that's my choice because I mostly find that the glucoside alone shampoos don't clean that well, especially they don't hold up through the bathing beauty.
All of these seem to hold up in the bathing beauty.
Really well.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Cool.
I would add to that. Yeah, really well.
And that wasn't all, Barbara. That was not all. I also saw this really weird Comey brush combination thing, and I reached out to the manufacturer, and I said, hey, I've got a podcast. If you send me one of these brush Comey things, I will happily talk about it on the show. So here we go. I'm going to talk about it on the show. It is a horse tool, I believe. It was originally a horse tool. It has a double row of interestingly shaped
spikes.
Spikes, yeah. they're canicular. They're cones. They're very small at the top, and they get wider at the base. And there's two rows, and they're injection mold produced. So it's all one piece. There's nothing to break off. And it's molded in nicely colored plastics. You can get an array of choices of plastics. The person who sent these to me is named Francisca, and her company is PennelloBrush.com, PennelloBrush.com, brush.com. These brushes are pricey. I don't know that I'd call it a brush. It's kind of a hybrid brush. I'm still trying to figure out where it fits in, and I also would suggest that the handle needs to be a little bit fatter because for those of us with hand problems, it's a little bit small to hang on to for what you're going to do with it. I could see it being a great mane and tail, mane basically, because it's a little small for a tail comb, but you could get through the mane really nicely, especially with a silicone product. I'm not sure what the benefit of the canicular spiky tines are, but they seem to detangle fairly well. And I found it pulled undercoat out of the golden retriever I used it on yesterday really nicely. Like that hip undercoat that sits in there that you mostly blow out, but there's still a little bit left in there and you don't find it unless you run a comb through. Well, this pulled that stuff out kind of nicely. It's an interesting tool perhaps to send home with a client. But here's the real secret. It's possible to find this much cheaper, possibly at Tractor Supply. That's a little secret. But either way, it's an interesting tool to add to the arsenal. Barbara, as soon as I'm done messing around with it for a few weeks, I'm going to send it to you so you also can give me your impression if you think it fits in anywhere. But I think you might have found something new coming up as well, haven't you?
Well, I stumbled upon something. Speaking of kind of conical-shaped tines, I was just on Amazon a little while ago and looking for a cheaper way to get something or other, a product. And this popped up, and it's a tear stain remover comb. And it's shaped not like a comb that has a handle. It has a like a fat area on the top. So it's an up and down kind of comb instead of a sideways. But it also has these kind of thin cone-shaped tines, but a little more separated than a flea comb.
Okay.
It's fine, but it's a little more separated than the flea comb. And the tines are kind of longer, and we're going to see what they do. And you hold it at the top instead of on a handle to the side. And I just popped it into my shopping cart. So the next time I buy anything on Amazon, which is probably tomorrow, I can't help myself. I just shop there almost every other day. The thing with having Amazon Prime is you have like no reason to hold off. No reason to delay your satisfaction or your gratification. Just order it today and get it tomorrow. Free shipping. So dangerous. So this, it's called PetNazz, PetNazz eye stain comb. Are you looking it up?
Yes.
She's looking it up, people. She does that. She sits there on her phone while we're supposed to be
having
talking.
Important conversation.
Yeah, having important. But she's so swift, she could actually get away with.
Oh yeah, okay. That. I see it.
So you see it?
Yeah, it's got longer tines than a flea comb. You pinch it between your finger and your thumb to use it. You hold it in your hands. There's no handle on it per se. There's more of a thumb hold.
Like a tab.
Yeah. It looks like a flea comb with extra long tines. Fascinating. Oh, I'm excited to hear whether this works, Barbara. And I'm also excited to send you my comb so I can hear your impressions about that.
Yeah, I want to see if that comb detangles and, and what it does on fine Maltese coats and, some of my special customers. I'm a little wary. The hard plastic material is not my choice, especially since nowadays we have this silicone coated brushes that really don't degrade and break the hair. I'm just afraid this might be a little brutal, maybe not when brand new.
Yes.
But we'll have to see how it holds up.
Indeed, we will. And yeah. I think that we've held up this show quite nicely, Barbara. Hey, do you have any shout outs?
That was my shout out.
Okay.
Was my shout out. PetNazz eye stain comb. And I haven't tried it. I just spotted it.
Yes.
So, when I get it and I try it, we'll have some more talk about it. Might as well, sometimes it's the little things that matter. Smallest little tool.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's been fun shooting the shit with you, Barbara. I love doing it. And I love that our grooming friends are here with us. And thank you for supporting us on Patreon and subscribing to the show and writing reviews and donations and all of that kind of neat stuff. And let's do it again next week here on the Groom Pod. Happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves. Stay cool.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site,
www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
Your turn.
Shut up.
I'm ready. Okay.
Whoa.